Hi everyone, this is John Lawson from Asante Wealth Management and Sana Family Office, here with you for the 2020 Q2 Portfolio Investment Review. I hope this finds you and your loved ones safe and enjoying some of the beautiful summer weather we have. Let's get down to it. In Canadian equities bounced back in the second quarter, rising 17% for the largest quarterly gain since 2009. The S&P/TSX Composite Index remained 12% below highs set in February of this year. Information technology has been the strongest sector in 2020, largely due to the meteoric rise in Shopify, which now makes up more than two-thirds, yes, that's two-thirds, of the sector in Canada. The materials sector also benefited from the surge in the price of gold. Shopify surpassed Royal Bank of Canada to become the largest Canadian stock measured by market capitalization. Think back, BlackBerry Limited and Valeant Pharmaceuticals were the last companies to accomplish this feat. U.S. equities. The U.S. equities recovered sharply in the second quarter after the S&P 500 index entered bear market territory for the first time in over a decade. Technology has been the strongest performing sector in 2020, providing better downside protection and upside participation than any other sector. Energy bounced back after oil prices briefly went negative, but it was not enough to recuperate prior losses. The S&P 500 index is becoming more concentrated in its largest holdings. The popular FANG plus M technology stocks now comprise approximately one quarter of the benchmark. European equities rebounded as the largest nations measured by GDP effectively contained the outbreak of COVID-19. Emerging market equities delivered a strong quarter and remain one of the best performing regions in 2020. COVID-19 outbreaks in Brazil and India could weigh on the developing equities for the remainder of the year. Developed international equities have had their earnings expectations downgraded, most amongst the major geographical regions, despite supportive stimulus and COVID-19 containment. Government of Canada 10-year yields continued to hover near all-time lows during the quarter. High-yield fixed income rebounded and issuance surged on companies clamored for financing to provide a buffer against potential second wave of COVID-19. The U.S. Federal Reserve began purchasing corporate bond ETFs in May as part of its effort to stabilize the credit markets. The central bank now holds more than 13 million shares in LQD, the largest corporate bond ETF focused on investment-grade issuers. The ETF has more than doubled in market value since its bottom in March, as investors tried to front-run the central bank. The key rates in US and Canada are 0.25%. Inflation in Canada is supposedly minus 0.4%. Does it feel like that to anybody who has been shopping lately? Equity performance. After experiencing a sharp drawdown in the first quarter, with equities and real estate down approximately 20 to 45%, depending on the area, they have experienced a V-shaped recovery in Q2 and are now minus 3 to minus 20% as of the end of June 2020. Small cap stocks and real estate continue to be the worst. In the world sector performance, the information technology sector has been the clear winner in the equity market recovery, as investors have piled into large tech names expected to benefit from remote collaboration and e-commerce, while shunning the companies of the old economy, like energy, financials, and real estate. We have seen many headlines about the relative performance between growth and value, with the latter outperforming over the past 10 years. So far, 2020 has been no exception, as growth companies have outperformed value by a staggering 28% in the US. How about a little bear market perspective? We're out of correction territory. The S&P 500 spent just 19 days in bear market territory, and that's defined as a 20% drop below the previous high. And even emerged out of correction territory, which is 10% below the previous high, in June. That is one of the fastest drawdowns in history and has been followed by one of the fastest recoveries. Response to the stimulus. Record stimulus in developed economies has been enough to turn the sentiment and support credit markets. On average, major developed economies have injected about 30% in combined monetary and fiscal stimulus. Most are directed at programs to put money directly into the pockets of consumers. We don't know for sure what the consequences of these massive stimulus programs will be, but it's safe to say that money supply will likely permanently increase, and federal debts will remain elevated for the foreseeable future. Is the U.S. outperformance overdone? Going long on U.S. equities was one of the best trades in the 2010s. Can the world's largest economy defend its crown as the best equity market in the roaring 20s? We are starting to prefer international developed equities over the U.S. Part of the reason is that there are key risks facing the U.S., including a surge in COVID-19 cases and uncertain political climate. Meanwhile, we think that the earnings expectation for regions like Europe are overly pessimistic and believe that the sector composition in the international markets will allow them to benefit more from an economic recovery. From a valuation standpoint, the U.S. is trading at a premium to the rest of the world across a number of metrics. Contrarian opportunity emerging in cyclical sectors. Cyclical sector positioning recently has touched a two-decade low, indicating that there could be a contrarian investment opportunity. The caveat, of course, is that these sectors consist of most old economy sectors, such as consumer discretionary, energy, financials, industrials, and materials, which have been adversely affected by the pandemic. We watch this closely. The future of income. You want me to sing "If I Had $1 Million"? No, you don't. But how much income can you earn on $1 million invested in a Government of Canada 10-year bond? 30 years ago, $1 million went much further. An investment in bonds guaranteed by the government would earn more than $100,000 per year. Today, that same investment would earn just $5,250 per year. How should clients with short-term horizons and or a need for income adjust to the new reality? Talk to us. We'll help you through that decision. Our investment allocation strategy going forward. We tactically position our portfolios based on short-term elements in the market. At any given time, our positions may change due to the portfolio activity or changes in the value of our investments. During the quarter, equities bounced back sharply and credit markets recovered. We added to our positions in investment-grade credit and benefited from the rally driven by the U.S. Federal Reserve support. We have maintained equity close to a neutral weight as we are skeptical of the disconnect between the stock market and the underlying economy. But we do not want to sacrifice any upside. Within equities, we have increased our weight to gold stocks. We want to have gold exposure to benefit from large increase in money supply and gold companies get leverage due to the price of gold. We also like the healthcare sector as it tends to be less correlated to the economic cycle and could benefit from vaccine development. Within fixed income, we are underweight government bonds and we are putting emphasis on the long end of the curve, where we believe the potential for capital gains is high. We have continued to add to duration, expecting the yield curve to flatten. We have also maintained a position in gold as an alternative for and downside protection. We are overweight corporate bonds for yield and diversification benefits. However, we have become less bullish on this trade recently as credit spreads compressed aggressively over the last few months. Lower government bond yields have impaired the total income generated by our portfolios, specifically those with conservative risk profiles. We have exposure to real assets such as real estate and infrastructure within the portfolios and have exhibited downside protection relative to the broad equity markets. We also like the prospect for real assets in an environment where currency is being debased by the aggressive printing from the Fed. And that's a wrap for this quarter's review. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out, and if you would like to share this with friends or colleagues, you are more than welcome to do so. This is John Lawson saying Asante Sana.
Hi there, I'm Trevor Beggs, part of the team here at Sana Family Office. Thanks again for listening to John Lawson and his second quarter investment review. To keep our legal team employed and the regulators happy, here are the necessary disclosures. Asante Capital Management is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances. The opinions expressed here are not necessarily those of Asante Capital Management. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time here on the Wealth Wisdom Podcast.